25 years, the Mancini version of Smoke Rings, herald the approach to the microphone of one of the deans of Twin Cities Broadcasting, Franklin Hobbs. With his smooth delivery, he invited you into the music room at Hobbs House, like a constant, comforting companion, whether he was working the overnight shift at WCCO or for quite a few years the morning shift here at KLBB, or noon when he invited you to join him for lunch at Hobbs House. This is Reed Hagen, along with Phil Jorgensen. Over the next couple of hours, we're going to pay tribute to a man who touched many, many people's lives. Like I said, was a companion through the night or through the morning hours or through the midday, and had an impeccable taste in music. Franklin would always kind of set the mood when he'd start his program. If it was a rainy day, he might open with a song that spoke of rain. If it was snowing or there were flurries in the forecast, he would play possibly Snowfall. Or on a cold day, he'd open his show with I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm. Or if it was a warm day, the winds were starting to blow, he might open his show with Summer Wind.
The summer wind as Francois. Yes, indeed, they're going to be blowing today up to 25 miles an hour. Looks like they're going to hang with us here for a few days, too. So, just alerting you, nothing of great consequence. Beautiful, sunshiny day with a high of about 60. We didn't make it yesterday. I think our high yesterday was, 59. We get pretty close anyway. See, by the way, I do want to remind you about Rick's Cafe Americana. Now, I'm going to give you the location. I'm also going to give you this little bit of advice, too. When you go here for dinner, Rick's Cafe Americana, you tell them that you heard about Rick's here at Hobbs House, and they will present you with a free bottle of wine with your dinner, which I think is a very nice gesture indeed. You bet they serve cocktails and the best of Louisiana cuisine. And the ribs and the chili, out of this world. But let's get off that subject matter here for just a moment and let you know that they're going to be serving a special Easter Creole-style brunch with champagne, Creole, and Cajun-style food, as well as the regular brunch items, on Easter Sunday. That's this upcoming Sunday, isn't it? I think so. And Thursday, tomorrow, they're going to be presenting live jazz in the downstairs area. And also on the 21st, that'll be Saturday, Grant West will be appearing at that time. Bruce Henry tomorrow night. You got that all straight? Now let me tell you how to get to Rick's Cafe Americana.
And, of course, the voice of Franklin Hobbs is only Franklin could invite you to stop by one of his sponsors and try out some of their tasty food at many of the restaurants he talked about over the years. That's tape from April of 1984, when I was his engineer at the time. And it was kind of funny the way that happened. He had happened to mention to me that morning, right after we had played his theme song, he said, you know, it's been 25 years this month. I've been on Twin Cities Radio. And I thought, well, I'm going to pop a tape in and record Franklin's show. And I'm glad we did, because from time to time throughout the next couple of hours, we'll be hearing Franklin Hobbs talk about old people in the news, the weather, the sports, and a few sponsors along the way. As I said earlier, Franklin used to love to open his show with a song that kind of fit the day weather-wise. And here are a couple of his favorites he used to like to open his show with.
I wouldn't say that our twins were treated royally by any means. We lost to California 6-3. But by golly, I'm a little suspicious. 40-year-old Tommy John is considered to be an excellent control pitcher. And he really caused a brouhaha last night. by hitting Herbeck. I guess he hit somebody else, too, and almost hit Herbeck the second time. Gardner and at least one other player were thrown out of the game. Let's hope that things go better for the Twins next time out. In the Cup playoffs, we're talking about Stanley, of course. They go in four cities tonight. Stars hosting St. Louis in Game 5 of the best of seven series. A little later on, we'll have a look at the other series games, or shall we say Cup games, playoffs, a little bit later on. Oh, yeah. Kind of an interesting note, if I can find it here. It has to do with the stadiums, or stadii. Hmm? Anyway, it appears that the Gophers are now debating whether or not they should be playing in the Dome. So now they're going to put it up to a vote, I guess, to some people, and let them sort of figure out whether they'd like to go into the Dome or rather watch the games out of doors in the old stadium. I don't know. How do you feel about that? The old stadium, Reed says. Well, that's right. You like winter weather, don't you? Boy, I can remember sitting watching the Vikes in the old Met Stadium and freezing. My goodness, it's 6:19 already. Yes, I want you to listen to this.
That, of course, the voice of Franklin Hobbs. He had a good sense of humor, Joyce.
Oh, I should say so.
Joining me now.
You know, he took himself pretty seriously, and he worked all the time. And you didn't see that sense of humor very often, but you did hear it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one good example. And we were talking about the stadium at the University of Minnesota, which is now torn down. And, of course, those games are being played in the Metrodome.
Again, that was a recording from 1984. Joyce Lamont with us now, chatting about Franklin Hobbs. Of course, you knew him much longer than I did. But you said at the time you hadn't even seen him for, what was it, years after he started working at CCO.
It's an odd thing that could actually happen, that people worked in the same building and the same floor and didn't see each other. But it does happen in radio, as you well know. If you're on an evening shift and come in, as he did, he started at 10:30, and then he left at 5 a.m., and I came in at 7 a.m. and left at 5 p.m., and I never saw him. I heard him, and I was much impressed, but I never had a chance to even talk to him, let alone get acquainted with him. Except a Christmas party, he would appear, and he'd be very nice and have a good time and say, great party, Joyce. Joycey, he called me Joycey. I love that. My dad and mother used to call me Joycey when I was little. But anyway, he called me Joyce, a nice party, and that was the end of it. And I didn't see him until the next year. Oh, but what a nice man.
So he never had a chance to sample the things you bring in. On occasion in the morning, you bring in some brownies or something like that.
No, he didn't, no.
Or Boone and Erickson, but he never had that chance.
Never did, no. I wish I could have done that for him. That would have been nice. You remember all those wonderful commercials you used to have?
I was just going to say, and you will hear throughout the next couple of hours, the way Franklin could do a commercial, and you wouldn't even know you were listening to a commercial.
It was mesmerizing, the way he did that.
We called them really nice segues. He'd be talking about something, and all of a sudden he's talking about a restaurant.
Yeah, he was a super salesman. And when he went on the air, he was a super announcer. He put those things together. And I remember a couple of the commercials. He had Casa Coronado, and you wanted to go to dinner right now. You might have been asleep or something, but you think, oh, well, I just got to go and get dinner there and buy a car at Towsley Ford. And
yes.
And I remember when he was up at Gull Lake during the summertime, there was a moccasin shop up there, and he would buy moccasins for Missy and himself, and I thought, wouldn't it be fun to have some of those moccasins? But the one I remember more than any other was Delirious Chicken.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
And there was nothing better than Delirious Chicken. I just loved that. It was, and everybody went there to buy Delirious Chicken.
I remember the first, I was a kid, and we were going downtown someplace, and of course, I grew up listening to Franklin Hobbs. My folks listened to Hobbs House.
Yes.
And I remember driving by, and I said, that's Delirious. We got to stop.
Yes. And then multiply that by 10,000. I'm sure everybody thought of Franklin Hobbs when they saw the Delirious sign.
And, of course, who can forget Missy Hobbs,
oh,
the
my, yes.
apple of his eye. He would talk about where they had been, or they'd been to the zoo, or up at the lake.
Oh, yes. We were brought up on Missy, and we certainly loved her. We never saw her, but we certainly heard all about her. He just adored her. And that was one thing that he brought you into his life, and I remember particularly, he seemed to be even more leisurely when he was at the summer cabin at Gull Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said that when he said, listen to the fire in the fireplace, that he had some cellophane in his hand, and that so that it sounded as though it were the flames, you know.
The cellophane from his pack of cigarettes.
I believe, yes.
He took that off and just crinkled it up next to the microphone.
It fooled everybody. It fooled me, I know that. But he would talk there. He'd be sitting there listening to his favorite music, which became certainly your favorite music, and he'd tell you about the trees and how the lake looked and the moon up there and the boat, and talk about the squirrels and the chipmunks, and always talk about Missy. And Missy was right there. She was watching him broadcast up there. So it was...
It's something that not too many people have had the opportunity to do.
Do you know what that was? A perfect one-to-one radio, where you're not talking to thousands of people, you're talking to one person, and he had that down. I don't think Franklin ever went to radio school. I don't think he ever learned that from anybody. But he had it, and that is the secret, I think, of being good on radio. To be talking to one person, if you convince the one person, you convince them all.
Marvelous communicator.
He did that so well.
And never talked down to you. Just talked to you like you were the only person listening.
That's
how you felt when you listened to him.
Yeah, he did it so well.
When he said, take my advice. Go to Delirious, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah,
you did.
Buy that car at Towsley Ford, and the next day you go right over and do it.
Or at least take a look. At least take a look.
Marvelous.
A lot of great memories with Franklin Hobbs.
Many, many great memories. All of us at CCO had many wonderful memories of him, and I'm sure that everybody who listened has the same.
So fortunate to have him work for KLBB.
Oh, yes.
Since 1983.
I was going to ask you, 83. Oh, that long. I didn't realize it was that long. And I came about 3 years later. That's right, yeah.
A little bit later on, I'll tell you about the first time I met him, which is a kind of a funny story.
Do that.
Right now, though, a couple of years back, 1992, I believe it was, Joyce, you and Franklin, Howard Viken, Ted Lemire, Dick Driscoll, and myself were at the Havoc Museum of Broadcasting.
Oh, that was fun. I enjoyed that evening.
And we were fortunate enough that they videotaped it that evening, and we have a portion here of Franklin. Somebody had asked him a question, how he got started in radio, and this is Franklin talking about the fact he started with bands when he was in high school. So we're going to listen to that right now.
I was on this same station, kind of forced my way into doing what are called big band remotes. And I used to do a show out of the Radisson, the old Flame Room.
Oh, that beautiful place.
Yeah, I can remember some of the people
the
that
singing
worked
strings.
There. Pardon me?
The strings, wasn't it?
Oh, no.
Oh, this was big.
That's modern.
Yeah. Oh, that's modern. Oh.
Now, these were, business band bounce bands. They were the tenor bands of those days.
Oh, I
hotels.
See. I see.
And I was kind of fascinated with it. And kind of a show-off, you know, as a kid. And then I went out to the West Coast. I was singing with a band, traveling, when I was very, very young. And they called me from Hollywood. This was in Frisco, San Francisco. And they called me from Hollywood and said, would you like to audition for a staff job on the network? And I said, sure, you know, big deal. And I went down and auditioned, and I got the job, and I made $80 a week. Network.
announcing.
Yeah. And then a guy by the name of Ken Carpenter. I don't remember. Did Ken do...
Jack Benny? Was that Jack Benny?
No, that was Don Wilson. Oh. Anyway, I bummed in again in the hall, and he said, why don't you... I was doing at that time a couple of sustaining shows, production shows, you know. And he said, why don't you audition for some of the commercials? And I said, no, I couldn't compete with you guys. Well, I won one, and that was Maxwell House Coffee, and then I got the Fanny Bryce show. And you're all too young to remember that. You do remember it, huh? And then a fellow by the name of Uncle Sam came knocking on the door. And I volunteered as soon as I got my draft papers. And I went into the Air Force, and I was in there for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And I trained and flew B-24s in the Far East. Then I came back and was radio director. That was in 1945 when I got out, the tail end. I was radio director for a company called General Artists Corporation. And we handled virtually all of the big bands as an agent. You know, we represented them and sold them and so on. And we had a number of radio shows, King Cole Trio Time, which I produced about halfway through the run of the contract. And, I got married before that. That was back in Chicago. I married Marge Fontaine, or she married me, or we married the Fontaine sisters that were on the Perry Como show. And then I moved to New York. We handled a number of shows, Kraft Music Hall and so on. And we were divorced, then I moved back out to Chicago. And I was still doing some commercials, you know, recording for network and so on. And I came up to Minneapolis to play in a golf tournament. And I noticed there was nothing on the air at night. There was only one station. What was it? One used to be next door to CCO for a long time.
Oh, what was that?
No.
No, it was
next door.
WTC.
Yeah.
I think it was, no, double, what?
WWTC? WWTC?
No, it was WDGY. Oh. And they had a soprano voice boy on with dollar spots. You could buy a spot for a buck.
Oh, my.
And I thought, wow, this market is wide open, because as I drove around at night, I could see a lot of lights on. So there was an audience out there, but nothing for them to listen to unless they picked up stations out of town. And I went on a station called WISK.
Whisk.
Yeah. That's now, what is it? I've lost track. KDWB. That's what it is today. But back in those days, it was adult music. And I was only on there for about 10 weeks. And Stan Hubbard called me, and CCO called me. They both wanted me to go on. And I settled for CCO, to make a long story short, because of its power and spread at night. And I enjoyed it ever so much. They never bothered me. None of the management was up in the hours that I was on, so it didn't.
I never saw this man for years and years.
Yeah.
Well, you'd be leaving at 5 in the morning. I'd come in at 7,
right.
Something like that. And then,
very interesting.
Yeah.
We, at night...
Listen to you, though.
50,000 watts clear channel, non-directional. We got mail from Vietnam during that course of events. And Scandinavia, Europe.
I remember that you offered albums to the first person from various states to call in.
Oh,
this
yes.
was a
yeah.
deliberate reason. You know, you wanted mail.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you got mail from every state and...
Every dominion of Canada.
And Canada. And
yeah.
all practically all over the world.
Yeah.
I never saw such mail in my life. And I heard you.
Broadcast from your cabin.